Okay, the Gemara in Daf Zayin and Aleph in Kiddushin continues. We had said in the Mishnah that there are three ways for an Eved Ivri's slavery to be terminated. Either through Shanim, Yovel, or Gerun Kesef. Either the 6 years are up, or if Yovel comes, or by Gerun Kesef, if he redeems himself, if he bails himself out. So the Gemara now just wants to know, what's the Makar for each of these things? So the Gemara says, well, how do you know that after 6 years, an Eved Ivri goes free? So the Gemara says, well, actually, that's explicit in the Pesukim in Parshas Mishpatim. The Pasuk writes, Ki sikna Eved Ivri, shei shanim yavod, vashviyis yetzei l'chavshi chinam. That's in Shmos Chav Aleph Chav, Shmos Chav Aleph Beis, rather. So the Gemara says, so clearly you see from here that after 6 years, he goes free. How do you know that an Eved Ivri goes free when Yovel comes? So that's actually from the Pesukim in Bahar. The Pasuk writes, Ki sachir kitoshav yeimach, achnas hayovel yavod imach. So you see that up until Yovel is when he works for you. The Gemara says, okay, so how do you know that he goes free through Giron Kesef, that he can redeem himself, bailing himself out of slavery prematurely, right? That you figure out how much money he was bought for, and then figure out how much money he has, how much of the chov he has essentially worked off, and then you... that's how much you would have to pay. The remainder of that is how much you would have to pay. So Chizkiah says, we learned that out actually from the Pesukim in Mishpatim. The Pasuk writes, Imra b'nei Adonai asher lo yada v'hefda. So it says, v'hefda, he should redeem her. That teaches us that pidyon, redeeming yourself, is one way out of slavery. So the Gemara says, okay, so there are different ways, though, of going through with that redemption. The Gemara presents a brisa that discusses three mechanisms for ending the slavery in this manner of Gerun Kesef. The Gemara says there are three options. Number one, either Kesef, Shava Kesef, or Shtar. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the makar that you can use Kesef when doing Gerun Kesef? The Gemara says that's from the Pasuk in Bahar where it says, Imod Rabos Bashanim Lefian Yashiv Gulaso Mi Kesef Miknaso, right? The redemption is based on Kesef Miknaso, so you can use Kesef. What about Shava Kesef? How do you know that you can use Shava Kesef for the Geron? So the Gemara says, because it says, Imod Rabos Bashanim Lefian Yashiv Gulaso. So from Yashiv Gulaso, that teaches us, doesn't have to be specifically Kesef, it can even be Shava Kesef. Okay, but then the last thing that the Bryce had said was Shtar. So what does it mean? How do you use a Shtar? What exactly did you write into the Shtar? If you want to tell me that you're writing like the value of the Eved into the Shtar, you're promising to pay the value of the Eved, let's say, as either like a form of an IOU or a check of some sort. So then the problem is that that's pretty much Kesef. So how is that different than Kesef? So it must be that that's not what we're talking about when we say that you can use Shtar. So the Gemara says, oh, so it must be it's a Shtar Shichur. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Why do you have to write anything into the Shtar? What exactly are you writing? You're writing that you can go free? If that's all that you're really doing is just expressing your wishes on paper, so then just express your wishes verbally. Just say in front of a couple witnesses or in front of a bastin, you know, you're welcome to go free. You don't owe me anything. So Rava says from the fact that a shtar is an option here, and we're talking about presumably a shtar shikr, what this tells us is that an Eved Ivri's relationship with the Adon is that the Adon owns the Eved Ivri. He actually owns his physical body. What's the nafka mean if the Adon owns the physical body? Well, the basic idea is like this. If the Adon's relationship with the Eved Ivri is that the Eved Ivri is basically nothing more than an employee, so it's essentially that the Adon is owed money by the Eved Ivri, and the Eved Ivri is basically paying off the money that he owes the Adon, so then the Adon can very simply say, you know what, I'm willing to forgive the money that you owe me. And just like a person who borrows money from the Adon from somebody, so you can easily just forgive the loan. Say, I'm willing to forgive the loan. You don't have to pay me back this money. So that would be possible if the Eved Ivri would be viewed kind of like an employee. But if you're telling me now that it's gufa kanoi, that the master actually owns the physical body of the Eved, then that's not an option. You can't just be mochel an item that you own. So you would have to have a shtar shikr of some sort in order to release, to sever that bond that the Eved Ivri has with the Adon. So that would be the nafkamina. So the Gemara now goes on. One point that we said in the Mishnah was that while the Eved Ivri's slavery can be terminated through either Shanim Yovel or Gerun Kesef, we said that the Amah HaIvriyah has one up on the Eved Ivri, and that is that the Amah HaIvriyah, her slavery can be terminated upon the development of Simani Na'aras. So Rish Lakish comes along and he says, actually, she's got even one more up over that. She can be, her slavery can be terminated not only through Simani Naros, but also if her father were to die. How does Rish Lakish know that? So he says, I have a svara, it's a basic kavachomer. It's as follows. We know that a young girl's, a katana's, ma'asi yadayim go to her father. Her father's entitled to her ma'asi yadayim. And even if she develops Simani Naros, her father is still entitled to those ma'asi yadayim. What about if her father dies? What happens to her ma'asi yadayim then? So there's actually a Gemara in Ksubas that Rashi points you to, that tells you that we know from Rav that if a young girl's father dies and now she's being supported by her brothers do not inherit the right from their father to keep that Ma'as Yadayim that the girl produces. And so while the brothers are supporting their sister, still she's able to keep her Ma'as Yadayim. How does Rav know that? Rashi brings down that Gemara from Daf Mem Gimel and Ksubis, where there's a drush of the pasuk v'snachaltem osam levneichem achreichem, that the only thing that you bequeath to your kids is the Evid Kanani, not the rights that you had to your daughter's Ma'as Yadayim. So what you see over here is that while Simani Naros do not release a girl from the grips of her father, in other words, her father is still entitled to her Ma'as Yadayim, even if she were to develop Simani Naros, Misa Za'av does release a girl from the grips of her father, right? Because the brothers do not inherit the right from the father to their sister's Ma'as Yadayim. So what about when it comes to an Amei Ivriya? In the Amei Ivriya's Simani Naros do release her from the grips of her Adon, right? Because an Adon is not entitled, a girl goes free once she develops Simani Naros. So Rish Lakish says, so let's do the math. If a girl's Simani Naros do not release her from her father, but still Misa Za'av does, and the brothers are not entitled to Ma'as Yadayim as a result of that Misa, so then when it comes to the Adon and an Ami Ivriya, if Simani Naros do release a girl from the grips of her Adon, so then certainly Misa Za'av, if the Ami Ivriya's father were to die, so then that certainly should release her from the grips of her Adon, and that should terminate her slavery. So the Gemara then goes on to attack Rish Lakish. The Gemara presents three attacks on Rish Lakish. The first one is from Rav Oshia, the second one is from Rav Sheshes, and the third is from Rav Amram. Rav Oshia asks a very simple question from the Mishnah in Daf Yud Aleph. The Mishnah said explicitly that an Ami Ivriya has Yaseira Alav Ami Ivriya Shakuna Satsma Bisun. It sounds like the Ami Ivriya has one up on the Evid Ivri. So according to Rish Lakish, why isn't Rish Lakish's din of Misa Za'av also mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, maybe that's because the Mishnah is not giving you an exhaustive list of the things that release an Ami Ivriya from her master, the things that terminate an Ami Ivri's slavery. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if it's not an exhaustive list, there's no such thing as telling me that it's not an exhaustive list where there's only one item left out. It's got to be that there's more than one item left out. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe it's that Ami Ivriya's slavery can be released, that Ami Ivriya's slavery is terminated if her father were to die, and also if her Adam were to die. And those would be the two items that would be left out from the Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah is not an exhaustive list. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be, because Ami Ivriya doesn't have that as one up over Evid Ivri, because we know that there's that Misa Za'adon also terminates the slavery of a Nirtza. A Nirtza goes free upon the death of the Adon. So you can't tell me that that's another one-up that the Ami Ivriya has over the Evid Ivri. So the Gemara says, you know, you're right. So why isn't Misa Za'adon in the Mishnah? I'll tell you why. That's because, why is Misa Za'av in the Mishnah? That's very simply because we're mentioning only things that are Davar Sheyesh Lo Kitzvos, things that are finite amounts that we can pinpoint exactly how much they are or when exactly they occur. And so Misa Za'av is not something that we can pinpoint exactly when it's going to occur. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, Simanim isn't either, right? Some girls develop more quickly than others. So why is Simanim in the Mishnah if what you're saying is correct? So Gemara presents Rav Safra, who answers this question and says, well, while Simanim don't have even though we can't pinpoint exactly when they're going to occur, there's a threshold, right? That if Simanim are developed prematurely, those are not considered Simanim. Where do you see that there's a threshold for Simanim? So the Gemara says that's actually a Braisa in the fourth parak of Nida. The Braisa presents a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa says, if a nine-year-old boy develops before he's 9 years and one day, the Mishnah says that he, if he were to develop, if you were to develop sa'aros, those would be meaningless in halacha. He's not considered a gadol in any sense, because even though he has some signs of puberty. So the Braisa says, okay, but what happens if he develops sa'aros between the ages of 9 and 12? So the Gemara says that's actually machlokus between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, even if those sa'aros remain on him through his adult years, once he's past that point, so it still is meaningless. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, he says no, those are meaningful. They're meaningful, and he would be considered a gadol as a result of those simanim. What about if a boy is 13 years old and he develops simanim? So according to everybody, we would say that the halacha is that those are meaningful, and he would be considered to be a gadol. And Rashi points out that that's even if the hairs fall out eventually. But what you see from this braisa is that there is a threshold for simanim. That's simanim that are developed prematurely before a certain threshold. Those would be meaningless. And so that's why it's appropriate for simanim to be listed in the Mishnah, because they are yeshlam kitzva in some sense. Okay, so then the Gemara presents the attack of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says as follows. Rish Lakish, you're telling me now that an Ami Ivriya slavery should be terminated if her father were to die. So Rav Sheshes says, but wait a second. There is a Braisa that discusses the various Avadim, or the various terminations of slavery for an Eved, that qualify an Eved for Hanukkah. In other words, the Braisa discusses the Avadim deserving of Hanukkah. The Braisa says that there's a machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Everybody agrees that an Eved whose 6 years are up, or an Eved whose slavery ends because Yovel comes, or an Eved whose slavery ends because the Adon died, or an Ami Ivriya whose slavery ended because she develops Simani Naris, all those Avadim are eligible for Hanukkah. We provide those Avadim with Hanukkah. What about, though, if an Eved runs away? Is he eligible for Hanukkah? Or what happens if an Eved wins the lottery and he redeems himself before the 6 years are up? So are those Avadim deserving of Hanukkah? So that's machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Meir. According to the Tanakhama, if an Eved runs away, or if he wins the lottery and bails himself out of slavery, he's not deserving of Hanukkah. And Rav Meir says, well, wait a second. If an Eved runs away, then I can understand. That Eved is not deserving of Hanukkah. But if an Eved wins the lottery and he bails himself out, he is deserving of Hanukkah. Rav Shimon comes along and he says, okay, so let's ignore the parts where everyone is debating. Rav Meir and the Chachamim have a machlokas regarding the Eved who runs away and the Eved who wins the lottery and bails himself out of slavery. But as far as the Avadim who are definitely deserving of Hanukkah, what we have is a total of 4 people who are deserving of Hanukkah. 3 men and 3 women. How does that work out? How does the math work out? Well, basically two of those Avadim overlap. In other words, as follows. If an Eved's slavery ends because the 6 years are up, or if an Eved Ivri's slavery ends because of Yovel, then both for a man and for a woman, for an Eved Ivri or for an Ami Ivriya, those Avadim are deserving of Hanukkah. Now, where is there not overlap between a man and a woman? So presumably, even though Rishim doesn't spell it out, presumably what that would be is that for Mises, a Adon is something that sets a Nirtza free, and an Ami Ivriya is set free by means of Simanim, if she develops Simanim. In other words, again, Rav Shimon's statement would then be that when Rav Shimon says there are 4 people deserving of Hanukkah, 3 for a man and 3 for a woman, what Rav Shimon seems to mean is that the three Eved Ivris who are deserving of Hanukkah would be an Eved who goes free by Shanim, by means of Yovel, or by Misa Sa'adon. And when it comes to a woman, who are the 3 women who are deserving of 3, what are the 3 that apply to a woman that would set, that would qualify her for Hanukkah? That would be if she goes free by means of Shanim, by means of Yovel, or if she develops Simani Naris. Now, what isn't on this list? So what seems to not be on Rav Shimon's list is Rish Lakish's halacha, that it's Misa Za'av that would send an Ami Ivri free. And the Gemara is assuming that Misa Za'av would be something that would warrant Hanukkah as well. But either way, Rish Lakish's halacha, Misa Sa'av, is setting a girl free, is not on the list anywhere. It doesn't seem to be. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Maybe when Rav Shimon told you that there were 4 people deserving of Hanukkah, he wasn't giving an exhaustive list. So, and he was leaving out some things. So the Gemara says, well, that would be very hard to say, because he said there are 4 people deserving of Hanukkah. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe he's leaving out things that are, maybe he's mentioning only things that are davar sheyesh lo kitzvas, things that are finite amounts, things that we can pinpoint exactly when or how much they are. And so this Misa Sa'av is not something that would make it into the list. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, but Siman in Aris is on the list. Siman in Aris is Ein Lam Kitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you'll tell me what we said before from Rav Safra. The Rav Safra would say that Simanim are considered a Yesh Lam Kitzvah because there's a threshold that if Simanim are developed before a certain time, they're meaningless. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, Misa Sa'adun seems to be on Rav Shimon's list. Misa Sa'adun is something that would set a girl free, that would hold her, that would qualify her for Hanaka. I'm sorry, Misa Sa'adun is something that not for a girl, but for an Eved Ivri, and that's on the list. And Misa Sa'adun is Davar Shein Lo Kitzvah. So the Gemara says, actually, you messed up the list. Remember, Rav Shimon's statement was there are four people deserving of Hanaka, three that apply to a man and three that apply to a woman. Rav Shimon never actually said which Eved Ivris or which Amma Ivris are deserving of Hanaka. Which means of ending a slavery are the things that deserve that result in Hanaka. He never said that. Rather, what is on this list? You assumed that Misa Sa'adun was on the list, but that's not really what was on the list. The list was comprised of the following four. An Eved who was released by because his years were up, the 6 years were up, or if Yovel came, or if Yovel of a Nirtza, became a slave, and then Yovel came, he goes free. That was on the list, not Misa Sa'adon. And then the final thing was an Ami Evria goes free if she develops Simanim. But what's not on this list is Misa Sa'adon, because we're deliberately leaving out Misa Sa'adon, because we're not listing Misa Sa'adon, because it's a Davar She'in Lam Kitzvah. And similar to the way that we leave out Misa Sa'adon from this list, we're leaving out Misa Sa'ah from this list. Okay, so just in short, again, Rav Sheish just asked a question on Rish Lakish that if Rish Lakish is correct, the Misa Sa'av is something that can terminate the slavery of an Amma Ivriya, why doesn't it seem to fit into Rav Shimon's list when Rav Shimon describes that there are four people deserving of Hanaka, three for a man and three for a woman? Doesn't seem that Rish Lakish makes it into the list. And so the Gemara says, yeah, there's a reason Rish Lakish doesn't make it into the list, because Rav Shimon is not discussing things that are Ein Lam Kitzvah, because we know that Misa Za'adun is not on that list, and so similarly Misa Za'av wouldn't be on the list. So the Gemara has one final attack on Rish Lakish, and that is Rav Amram. Rav Amram says, if you recall, that in that Brisa, there was a debate between the Chachamim and Rav Meir. The Chachamim said, here are the people who are deserving of Hanaka. Elu manikim lem. These are the people deserving of Hanaka. An Eved whose slavery is terminated because the 6 years are over. An Eved whose slavery is terminated because Yovel comes. An Eved whose slavery is terminated because the master died. Or an Amma Ivriya who develops Simanim. So Rav Amram says, it seems pretty clear from over here, these are the people who are deserving of Hanaka. And what's not on this list is Rish Lakish's din of Misa Sa'av. So why is Misa Sa'av in the list if Rish Lakish is correct that that would end the slavery of an Amma Ivriya? Now maybe you'll tell me we're not giving you an exhaustive list. The problem with saying that is that the Tanakhim was pretty explicit. They said, these are the people, Elam Anikam Lam, these are the people deserving of Hanaka. So maybe you'll tell me the same argument before. Maybe you'll tell me, well, we're only discussing things that are Davar She'yesh Lo Kitzvahs, and we're not discussing things that don't have finite amounts that we can't pinpoint exactly how much or when. The problem with saying that is that Simanim is on the list. Well, the Gemara says, okay, but you'll tell me an easy out, you'll tell me Rav Safra's Taina. Rav Safra told us that Simanim are considered Davar She'yesh Lo Kitzvah, because Simanim have a threshold. Okay, but the problem is, there's one thing on there that definitely isn't a Davar She'yesh Lo Kitzvah, and that is Misa Sa'adon. Misa Sa'adon is on the list. And so the Gemara says, you're right, that is a very strong taina on Rish Lakish, it's a tiyufta. And so we've schlugged up Rish Lakish at the end of the day. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, you have three attacks on Rish Lakish. The third one seemed to follow through and seemed to totally refute Rish Lakish's svara, to seem to refute Rish Lakish's statement that Misa Za'av just said Nami of your free. The problem was Rish Lakish had a pretty solid svara. So, you're right. We don't find Rish Lakish's halacha mentioned anywhere in the Brises, but why is his svara off? Rish Lakish, so the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Rish Lakish's svara wasn't even a good svara. Why wasn't it a good svara? Again, Rish Lakish's svara was a kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer was that whatever, if we find that simanim are something that don't release her from her father's grips, but still Misa Za'av does, so when you see that simanim works to release her from her alun's grips, then certainly Misa Za'av should. So the Gemara says you can't compare simanim with Misa Za'av. Simanim is a physiological change. Misa Za'av is not. What does that mean? Why does that mean that they're different? So the way that the Balei HaTosfos over here explain over here in Dibur Maaschil Mali Simanim Shekein Nishtan Agov. The Baal HaTosef has explained, well, basically, the relationship between the father and the daughter doesn't depend on the physiological, on any of the physiological status that the girl has, right? The daughter is still a daughter, even if she changes, even if she becomes a Nara, even if she becomes a Bogeres, the father is still her father, and the daughter is still his daughter. Masha'in came when it comes to the Adon bought a certain item. He bought this girl, as she was, and now she changed. If she underwent a certain physiological change, this is not the same item that he bought, and that's why there should be a very big difference between Mises Av and Simani Naharas. And so, just to summarize, what we have over here is the Gemara ultimately started off by discussing what it was the Makoros to say that an Eved Ivri, what are the Makoros to say that an Eved Ivri would go free upon Shanim Yovel or Geron Kesef? And the Gemara then goes on to say, What about an Amei Ivriya? We had Rish Lakish's Big Chiddush over here. The Rish Lakish said an Amei Ivriya would be able to go free if her father were to die. The Gemara had three attacks, and ultimately the Gemara rejects Rish Lakish because it doesn't fit with the Brisa that Rav Amram presented from the Tanakhama.